This is Meredith Sisko for these Ozark Hills. Well, there's no getting around it. Summer's in full swing, and there's no better evidence than in and around my garden, where everything I've planted is leaping out of the ground with limbs stretched toward the sun and lots of things I didn't plant reaching to compete. I appreciated the week of cooler weather that gave me more hours to weed, but I still didn't get around to everything. And I also appreciated some of the things I found while weeding, although not all that much. Some years back, I was gifted with a few seeds of a small yellow cherry tomato called Darling, after the Darling family, who gave some seeds to Mary Lou Price's mother, Helen, with the promise that they'd never fail her. And apparently they didn't, because some decades later, Mary Lou gave some seeds to me, and they have likewise prevailed. There comes a time, though, in every summer, when I slip away from my positive attitude about the unending abundance of the garden. It's about the same time I clear away enough weeds to realize that, although I've already planted more than a dozen tomatoes, in varieties I really enjoy, once again, I've got too many darlings. There are volunteer darlings everywhere, and not one of them has landed where it's wanted. There are two right in the middle of the peppers, a couple more among the potatoes, and one attempting to scale the fence where there are already plenty of bean vines flourishing without any help. One friend suggested I just leave that one alone, since it had already established itself and wouldn't need tying up, but she doesn't know the darlings. Give that one another week and it'll be over the fence and rappelling down the other side, sending out enough side shoots to take the whole cattle panel. I have some tall tomato cages made from the rebar used to reinforce concrete, and those might help, but there are only two of them, and at last count there were seven darlings. And the thing is, they really are prolific and delicious, too. But last year I gave away buckets full, and I still had about 1,000 on the vine when it frosted, and I hadn't planted any of those either. I mean, I appreciate all those volunteers, I really do. In fact, I find it hilarious that they're called volunteers. It's like, in my mind, I picture some little life form that suddenly pops its seed coat open, pokes up its two little first leaves and waves, and calls out to the universe, "I'll be a tomato, I'll be a melon." It's sweet, really. And nowhere is it sweeter than in my compost bin, where there resides now a watermelon plant already making melons, and two stalks of white, tender-shelled popcorn from a bag that went stale over the winter, and I threw it out. But two of those kernels weren't stale, by golly. And if I remember to help it a little bit at pollination time, I'll have me another batch of popcorn. I can't tell you how much I appreciate such gifts springing forth unbidden. But I'm going to have to work a little bit to deal with the darlings. It's true, not every tomato I planted those long weeks ago survived. There are spaces, and I can move most of the darlings into them, and we'll probably do fine, so long as I remember to carry my clippers and nip off those little side shoots that go toward Kansas and Oklahoma and smother the other tomatoes as they go. The winter squash is in the other direction. I think it has too much of a head start to be bothered by tomatoes. But, you know, when I think of it, it's better to have too much of what you like than that other surprise that sometimes happens, like last year when I bought spaghetti squash seeds from a heretofore reliable supplier and ended up with little misshapen forms that might have been maybe butternut and part Kushaw, butternuts with stripes, I don't know, but they were not spaghetti squash. That felt more like betrayal than excessive exuberance. So I'll move the darlings to better quarters and try to keep them in line. It won't work, but I have an answer to that, straight from my Scottish grandmother, whose opinions were always straightforward and to the point, even though it was sometimes mystifying as to what that point was. For instance, when she was weary, one might hear her say, "This world and one more." Satisfying thought. But then she'd mutter, "And then the ironworks." "What?" And then when I would come downstairs in the morning all ready to face the day and said, "Good morning, Granny," she'd as likely answer, "Well, hello yourself and see how you like it." I'm still not sure what that was about, but the one I liked the very best came whenever someone was frustrated with a situation or a circumstance or a tomato, and they'd had enough of it, and they'd cry, "Enough's enough!" And she was always there with the perfect answer, and she'd say, "And too much is plenty." Well, this is Meredith Sisko, wishing you an abundant, even a darling summer, although not too darling. in these Ozark Hills, whether you wind up with just enough or plenty.
And you can keep up with Meredith Sisko on her website, meredithsisko.com, where you can find her stories, music, and pictures. You can also find her essays on These Ozark Hills archived at ksmu.org.